Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
The footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
Kareem, welcome to the Triple M Huddle for McDonald's Gourmet Creations.
Triple M rocks footy.
Pump one inside 50. There's only one man there. And you only need one man when you're Justin Martin.
Gave it back to Martin. Martin dynamite for 45. Kicks a goal. Dusty rips Rooster off the bat. Goes the spiral kick inside 50.
Richmond with numbers again. Castagna. Snap on goal from Justin Martin.
This is the Friday Huddle coming your way from the MCG. Huge game coming. It is the Collingwood Football Club up against the Western Bulldogs, and we have got guest galore Dane Swan straight out of the jungle will be joining us here on the Friday Huddle. Jeff Walsh from the Collingwood Football Club to tell us exactly what happened with Jordan Ngoi. Mark Webber, because we won't be just talking footy, live in his one radio interview from Albert Park. Shane Warne to tell us what on earth is going to happen in the fourth test, and an opportunity for you to win grand final tickets when you can go head-to-head with one of the illustrious men in this box. And what a box it is. We'll start off with the two-time Brownlow medalist who has got his own segment, it must be said, later on this evening. Chris Judd. Hello, Juddy.
Howie, good to be here. Looking forward to it.
It's going to be good. Nathan Brown is here. Did a very nice job on Thursday night. Brownie, this is a new show, a new revelation. How are you feeling?
No, very excited. Footy's back. Last night was really good. It was a good game of footy. And then tonight I'm looking forward to seeing how the Dogs defend their title, because they were so good in that final series last year. And a little bit's happened in the off-season. Let's see how they go.
And a man that still gets teary when he thinks about that magic day last October, Luke Darcy. Great to have you here, Darcy.
I just love the fact that Juddy's demanded his own segment up, which is an extraordinary opening to Triple M footy. And why wouldn't you? I'm very much looking forward to that. And I'm excited that Nerilee Meadows is going to add a touch of class to the Triple M box, something that has been long overdue.
My word it has, and a man that knows everything that is happening in football is Damien Barrett. Hello, Damo. It's been an extraordinary week again. There's been Dogs, there's been Plugger, there's been all sorts.
There's been Eagles, and we're about to see another chapter, aren't we, in the great footy world issues with Travis Cloke playing against his old team tonight. That's going to be my go-to moment when that game starts.
Let's be honest, this is a whole new show, the Friday Huddle. Anything could happen. We've got some grand plans, but a couple of gentlemen wandered in about 15 minutes ago and stood over me like a couple of great big shadows, Darcy, and I'm still struggling to recover from it. They were here at Triple M last year and they've cast a massive shadow, and they've cast their eye on what's going on here and laughed, and sort of you blokes haven't really given them a great deal, to be honest.
Well, it's fair to say it's an interesting environment to come and do the footy, Juddy. You joined us late last year and made a big impact, but we sit alongside each other in the media well, so we look to our left and you see people that we know
clear glass,
and we look to the right and we see people. So this box hasn't always, Juddy, been the most popular one, it's fair to say. This box at times has got a bit of a frosty reception, and when you're on the out on the other side, as those two gentlemen are, it was a touch awkward, fair to say.
Well, Luke's got form in this area, and completely so too. I mean, we've got obviously the two boys that left last year, and Darcy didn't give them much when they came in before. It was more head down, working, pretending he was working.
You and move on, Brownie.
Reminded me.
I thought you were pretty rude,
2003, when I was leaving the Bulldogs, and so I thought I'd ring all the senior players and say, this is what's happening. So I rang Murph, Jose Libba, all these blokes, and I rang Darcy. Mate, I've made the decision that I'm going to leave the Dogs. He goes, you got to do what you got to do, and hung up. Didn't speak to me for a year after that.
And that's how we were when these guys wandered into the box.
You're out, Juddy. I would have thought.
That's why we voted you in skipper a couple of weeks ago. That's sort of the first person we roll out to when the gun gets.
There's a leadership vacuum, and I'm going to assume the mantle, how he like it or not. We've had our first ever meeting, Triple M Footy, in the history of Triple M Footy, first ever meeting, and we've actually got a rundown, which is a new event on Triple M Footy. So anything could happen here, Howie.
And a full rundown. And as I said, Juddy has demanded his own segment. And I've always known him as a man that prepares well. I haven't known Chris that well. But the amount of phone calls he's been making this week and research he's been doing and the pressure I think you're starting to feel, Juddy, about having to deliver this segment to the people, it's entertained me.
Well, you already know I've got a very heavy workload. You've been to the office,
and I've had to put
a couple of employees on this week just to cope with the booming work.
You've been to Judd
headquarters, have you?
Yeah, I have. I had. I met him there a couple of weeks ago to his what I thought would be a massive, enormous office out there.
It's palatial.
It's palatial to the point where
a bit like Lynn Fox.
Yeah, exactly. I met him. I was a little early, and he gets out of his beautiful big European motor, and I think, oh, this bloke, he's got it all. He's got the beautiful wife. He's got a family. He's got two Brownlow medals. He goes to the boot, I think, what's he going to pull out here? And he gets out a $4 IKEA chair And I said, what's that for? He said, well, I've only got one chair in my office. So we go into his office. He positions the chair there across from his computer. That's all that is there. It's about 32 degrees at this stage. He said, oh, by the way, I'm not sure how long we've got because I have no air conditioning in here as well.
Look, I think Judd Corp is building. I think
that's it's a real low base.
You're on the ground floor now, but 10 years' time, who knows? It could
I'll tell you what's well established, though, Brown. This is one of my big aims for this year on Triple M Footy. I want to broadcast live out of the Judd Cave.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen photos of the Judd Cave. It is an extraordinary, extraordinary setup. It's palatial, sort of dungeon-like environment. Not many have been in there before, but I want to try and lean on JD. I think next time there's an interstate game that we can't get to.
Oh, yes.
Live from the Judd Cave.
Look, I mean, I'm happy to do it, but the cave was designed so that no satellites could come in or out. And no one can hear you scream from the cave. So if the technology can make it happen, I'm happy to open it up.
Now, you are a man that every interview I ever heard you say or every newspaper, you said you don't read newspapers. Mm. Has that changed? Because I'd imagine, I think I heard somewhere along the line, I'm never going to do media either, but here you are, two seats away from me.
I say a lot of things, Brownie. But look, I mean, I've now got Australia's most sought after segment on national radio. Of course, I've been reading papers. I've been scouring the entire globe to get this off the mark. So, consuming it all.
Just do what you want, though, don't you? You decided to come back into the media, as Brownie said, and now you wanted to join the Carlton board. So you've kicked someone else off that board, and you're just going to join.
I give the people what now the people you want your own segment. I give the people what the people want. They said they needed some class in here on the Triple M box. I've come in here to deliver.
Poor bloke on the Carlton board's just off.
It was time for change. It was time for some renewal.
Have you still got the job at Visy?
Well, the hard work's been done, Branny. everyone's recycling. The kids know what the blue bins are for. That job's been done.
The planet has been saved.
You're welcome.
Big night at the Triple MCG last night. There was all this talk about what would happen if the Tigers were going to go down. They never looked like it. Nath, you were here calling the game for Triple M footy. Pretty convincing performance. And a couple of young blokes up forward, Castagna and Butler, did they show a bit of dash?
They were really good. Dustin Martin, clearly best on ground. He's better than what he was last year. And I thought Richmond got the job done. They needed to win by 5+ goals. They did the job, but I was impressed with the Blues as well. I mean, they came with a really young list. Their senior players, Gibbs and Murphy, performed really well, but their young players were terrific. They had a crack, and I reckon Brendan Bolt would have walked away from that saying, I tell you what, we're developing a really good list here that's going to go places in 2 or 3 years.
Hadn't been a lot of positivity around your old club, Johnny. A lot of media performers, for want of a better term, have had the real slows on Carlton. Matty Lloyd was very vocal in an article saying that the rebuild is half-baked and the list hasn't anywhere near looked the way it should. Are you concerned about what's happening?
No, look, I think there's no doubt there's going to be a little bit of patience required, but I was at the game last night, and when you see Marchbank play really well, I think McCready for a first game has stood up at times, Plowman had a really solid game, Petrovsky Seton showed enough, as did Wietering in the forward line. I think there was enough to like from the young kids to say that the plan's on track, albeit it is going to take a little bit of time.
What is the plan?
Well, to build sustained success, but to do that, you really need a group that's going to be able to play together for 8 to 10 years. And those guys I named, along with Doherty and some of the other young guys, are going to be that nucleus for the next 8 to 10 years. And, you know, Harry McKay kicked 4 goals in the VFL yesterday. So, look, kudos to Richmond. They were the better club, clearly, but I think there was a few green shoots to like from the Blues as well.
The Tigers, Brownie, obviously brought in some big recruits. Certainly Prestia was one, and Curvis and Caddy did a good job last night too. But one of the off-field guys, Blake Carosella, after 7 years at Geelong, has been empowered with the midfield group there. And again, the body of work is now one game old only, but you could see something there last night that was very different to what had been happening under Damien Hardwick in the previous 7 years.
Oh, without a doubt. And they moved the ball quickly through the middle. They didn't go around the outside. And we watched the quarter-time huddle and three-quarter-time very closely. We had the binoculars out. And Blake Carosella pretty much dominated the quarter-time. And Damien Hardwick came in at the end and gave him a little bit of a G-up, probably maybe 30, 45 seconds. But for the 4.5 other minutes they were out there, Blake Carosella owned that group. And he was very, I wouldn't say demonstrative, but he was very, very vocal in what he wanted.
And I know the Cats have obviously replaced him and that they'll back themselves to replace him. But I also know, too, that there's a lot of players down there who are concerned that he's now not going to be part of their teachings in when it comes to that space.
Yeah, he's a good footy brain, and if they can get that midfield up and running, I mean, when you look at Richmond's list, their best five players compete with anybody's best five. It's just the last five, and I think they've made moves to get that underway. And the other question I wanted to ask you, Jody, before you jump in, was about Wietering, who went forward. I mean, I said last year on the Sunday Footy Show he probably should play forward, and then people laughed at me and said, that's silly, he's such a wonderful backman. But I saw last night he just reads it half a second quicker than everybody else.
Yeah, look, from limited opportunity, a lot of the time he was up against Alec Rance, who was able to halve contests or win them. So I think he was super. I think he's going to end up being a much better defender himself. But if you look at what Carlton needs at the minute, they need some more firepower up forward, and he was able to help out last night.
Massive game here tonight at the MCG. The running premiers, the Dogs and the Pies. And Damo, big late change in this game. We need to make the Triple M family aware of.
Yeah, Aish is out, and that's allowed the incoming of Chris Mayne, who had been talked about all week in the build-up to it, and when the team came out last night was not in the 22, now is. So whether it was a plan for that to be the case the whole way through, and the new ex-Docker now getting a game, but significant that he has got in for this first hit-out.
That was the one thing that stuck out when I had a quick look at the teams last night. Obviously, they've invested in Chris Mayne. He's come, he's on good money, on a good deal, and round one, he's not in the side. It was like, that's strange.
Yeah, look, he hadn't fitted in the way I think they wanted him to, and there's still some talk about, was it a Gubby Allen decision over and above everyone else, and would they have done it had everyone else had input into it? But, look, it doesn't matter now. He's got a chance in the very first game on the Friday night.
Is it just me, or does every time you think about James Aish, you think about that picture of him standing next to his missus with the umbrella on himself and her out in the rain? Every time James Aish's name gets mentioned, that's the picture I see at the moment.
Yeah, you're different, Brownie. I'm not sure.
That will stay with him. That'll stay with him for a long while, Damo. Let's be honest. You don't recover from that very quickly, I wouldn't have thought.
The banner last night caught my eye. The banner for the Carlton Football Club. And we saw Danny McGinley with the Bulldogs do some pretty sharp stuff last year and sort of turned around the idea of the banner. The
Almost
banner,
a celebrity now.
Well, he is. And the banner said, Richmond's five-year plan has become a disaster. The vision impaired like Dusty's barber. Now, it raised a bit of eye. I was listening to Paul Ruse when I got home last night on Fox Footy. This is what he had to say.
I just think it's not on. I mean, you're a young team. You've got a plan at Carlton. You know, you want to... And I understand that banners can be kitschy and funny and
all
that
sort of
things.
And the world of memes, that's what it's
all
about.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But I think if I'm Brendan Bolton, that sort of stuff, that's about your branding, what you stand for as a football club. Everything you do now, yeah, has to be like that. I don't think that's on. That.
Issue, not an issue.
Mr. Mark, that one, Johnny, I haven't got a huge issue with it. Probably maybe just a little bit over the top for mine, but go to board level, that one.
It won't be top of the agenda, I wouldn't have thought. I think it's pretty lighthearted, and look, it didn't bother me.
I'm a bit the same. I mean, the use of the vision impaired element, Howie, slight issue with that, but I think we can
the glasses
take it.
Purple?
Well, I am very vision impaired, as you know. I'm
need to be able to see
technically
the humour and
blind.
Things.
But
well, I look, probably needs to be funny as well.
Yeah.
That's a very subtle point.
The point he's talking about was Plough in 2007, after he'd been there for 3 years, came up with a five-year plan that was going to take him to 2011, and didn't really work out for Tess.
When you're explaining a joke, you know it's not funny, Brownie, and that is the genuine issue.
Jeff Walsh will join us shortly to tell us what on earth happened at that football club this week. Last night, Richmond 132 defeated Carlton 89 by 43 points. Dustin Martin, Brownie. Oh, did he put an extra 50, 60, 150,000 on his contract last night? Well played.
Tell you what, they want to keep him, don't they? Oh. Because that was a masterclass. When he was on that half-forward line, and the game wasn't in the balance, let's be honest, but just to go through Doherty, who's one of their best tacklers, and just to fend off, he didn't seem until the last moment, then gave it to Rioli, who just banged it from 50. That was the iconic moment of the night last night.
It's a great skill to don't argue, Jody. It's one of your strengths, but I think Richo and the call said it last night. I don't reckon anyone's done it as well as Dusty. He's untacklable when he plants a forearm in someone's chest. He's as good as anyone I've seen in that front.
He's incredibly strong. And I also think just with the addition of Prestia and Butler in there, they just looked a lot quicker, particularly through the midfield, than I've seen Richmond for the last couple of years. And, you know, they really hurt Carlton on the turnover.
How highly do you rate Dusty? Could he get into the elite bracket? Is he there now? Or where do you see him in the next 12 months?
I honestly think that game he produced last night was as good as you see. I mean, he effectively kicked 6 goals if you include the 2 gimmies he gave away, and over 30 touches, and they were just really damaging touches. And any time Carlton looked like they were challenging, he was the one that took the game away from them.
Third in the Brownlow last year, Dust. You don't reckon he's reached elite?
Well, I'm just saying whether he's taken it into another stratosphere. Is he you know, going to be the most damaging midfielder in the game? I mean, it's the pub question we always ask. But for me, what he did last night, if that's the benchmark he sets, I mean, he's as good as anyone that's out there.
What he did last night was forward of the centre stuff too. When he got the football, he was delivering inside 50. I remember Dimmer pulled him up last year. He had 41 touches, and I think Dimmer in the press conference said, I didn't think he played that well. And you look at his heat map, and a lot of the ball was 40 metres out defensively from goal, a couple of handballs. But last night, it was damaging. It was 45-degree angle kicks, which just opened up the game.
The unknown in the offseason was how he was going to deal with the scrutiny and speculation around his future. But if last night is going to be the norm for him, he's going to handle it like Dangerfield.
Doesn't look like a man who gets too
worked
up.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
I put it to you and Luke Hodge last night to name the three players you would pick out of the competition in your side this year, and Luke Hodges' number one pick was Dustin Martin.
Was it? That was pre-match.
Yeah, that was at half-time.
Okay.
So he's starting to get swayed at that stage.
Yeah. Look, the offers are coming here. Look, North Melbourne has put in, like I reckon, probably 17 other clubs, but North Melbourne has put in a very significant offer.
What's significant?
Well, I don't get too bogged down in the money, but you know that it's going to have to be $1 million a year to get him out of the footy club.
Look at Juddy's eyebrows raised.
But look, North wouldn't be the only club doing that, provided that the club that is after him is prepared to deal with the off-field situations, which haven't always been smooth. But North had a massive crack at Isaac Heaney, missed out there, and they've now made Martin the next cab in that pursuit. Now, they don't expect to get him deep down, but the offer's significant.
Is it more of a money thing, or is it more of a success thing for Dustin Martin?
I would think the latter, Brownie, and I would think if Richmond had a good year, I couldn't see why he wouldn't stay. But you speak to
his manager. What's the pass, Mark? Is it play finals for Dustin Martin at Richmond this year?
I'd say win a final and he stays. I would think. Ralph Carr, his manager, is very clear as recently as a week ago, Howie, that this will play out for the entirety of the year, and he's got every right to do it that way.
It's a story that will keep going along, especially if he continues to play footy like he did last night. Mark Webber still to join us, Shane Warne, Dane Swan, they're all to come on the Friday Huddle. But it's a great pleasure to welcome for the first time in 2017 one of the wonderful journalists we have in this town. She's a superstar. Her name is Neroli Meadow. She's down on the boundary with a special guest, Nez.
Thank you very much, Howie, and I can tell you it is absolutely beautiful conditions for footy as we get kick-started Friday night footy. I've got Collingwood Director of Football, Jeff Walsh, with me. Now, you've got a late change, some breaking news in.
James Hayes, a bit virusy, so he won't play, and Chris Mayne comes in.
Huge opportunity for the Docker.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, look, his form last week, or the week before, the last JRT game was really encouraging, and he's starting to find a bit of momentum after a slow start, but great chance for him tonight.
Boys?
Jeff, I know you've dealt with the Jordan De Goey issue as a footy club throughout the course of the week, but just so we can sign off on it from a media perspective, were you and the club too willing to accept his initial story?
In hindsight, Damon, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hindsight. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hindsight.
The reason for the acceptance of it straight away, Jeff?
I mean, well, I think, as I said a number of times on the day, that we're always going to invest some faith and some trust in all our people, players, staff included. But when that is shown to be misplaced, as it was in Jordan's case, we'll take some action. But that won't stop us being faithful and trusting in our people going forward. In hindsight,
yeah,
absolutely.
Did it leave
great call?
Did it leave Nathan Buckley more embarrassed or more hurt?
I don't think hurt. Not embarrassed in a personal sense, but I suppose embarrassed for the footy club and for the unit and for the playing group and for his own footy department or for his own club. So, yeah, but I think Nathan understands that there's not a lot of room for personal sentiment in footy, but certainly from a club perspective and a group perspective, yeah, he'd be embarrassed.
And yourself, Jeff, too? More embarrassment or more hurt?
Not hurt. But yeah, same thing, I suppose, for the club. You think, next time, let's hope there isn't not a next time, but footy's history says in some way, shape or form there is.
Yeah.
But none of us are too old to learn any lessons, Dane.
Yeah, fair enough. Just one more on Jordan. He's not a clean skin in that way his story's played out. And there was, you know, the situation last year in the trade period where his name came up. Now, I don't know how serious it got, but it certainly came up. Is he on a last chance?
No, look, and we're not dealing with last chances or speak of it in that frame at all, really. I think we said about embarrassment and people being hurt and all that. I'm sure that Jordan himself would feel that he's let a lot of people down, and he said that publicly. So I'm sure that resonates with him. Mm. And if he thinks that he's made some poor calls, which obviously this one was, that he'll assess himself and he'll do better next time if he's the person and the player that we think and hope he'll be.
Now, Walshy, I'm not winding you up this question, I promise you, but I have to ask you. Does Jordan Ngoi actually own a dog?
Own a dog, yeah. I've been asked that a number of times. And look, at the risk of incurring the wrath of the RSPCA, I'm a confirmed dog hater, so I couldn't care less if he had one or not.
It is an extraordinary story if he doesn't own a dog. You came up with that and he doesn't have one, but is that a yes?
Mate, to save my own life, I don't know.
Jeff, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle and have a great kick-off to the season.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Just on Jordan Ngoi too, before we move off, Howie, there were extra sanctions and requirements placed upon him that were further to what the club released on Tuesday when it did reveal the sanction. And that was, at the time, a $5,000 fine, a 3 AFL match ban, Brownie, which only can kick in once his hand has healed, and also a reference to community service. There's also, on top of that, guys, an alcohol ban, and how they arrived at that. Look, if you ask the club, they'll say that he's volunteered that. Other people might say that they suggested it to him, but there is an alcohol ban as part of this sanctioning process. There's also a requirement for him to be there at times, the first person to arrive at the club, and on certain days, on those same days, the last player to leave. So they're going to make him learn and earn the right to come back into that team. So he's going to sit in a lot of meetings, which we otherwise wouldn't be doing. And yeah, so there's a whole lot more of a sanctioning than just what was released on the Tuesday.
Another man that's been sanctioned joined us in the Triple M box last night, Luke Hodge, who won't be playing on Saturday night, Damo, after the Hawthorn leadership group said have a week off.
Yeah, and he's not happy. And I like the way he's finally spoken about this publicly, initially on the footy show on Wednesday night this week, and then again even in more detail, I think, on Triple M last night. And while he's accepting of it, as you're about to hear here, he'd rather not be missing round one.
The issue was that I didn't let him know straight away. Yeah. I dealt with the thing I had to deal with, and I let him know about lunchtime. And by that stage, that's 5 hours of the boys going, what's Hodgie doing? Did he get on the sauce? Did he do all these other things are coming into their head? So if I'd have sent him the message at 8:30 in the morning or 8 o'clock, they would have said, okay, have the day off, go deal with whatever you got to do. But it's because of that 5 hours where they're sitting there going, well, you just can't get away with that. And as you said, it's a tough punishment, but at least everyone else knows communication's key. And if you look at the Ngoi thing, him not communicating with Collingwood is probably the reason why he got the punishment, not the actual thing, the incident that he had, because they would have just thought he's a 21-year-old kid. You made a mistake because he lied to him and went from there and wasn't open with him straight away. It's pretty big communication these days.
Don't want to read too much into situations, Howie, but there's a belief, I believe, from Luke Hodge that if Alistair Clarkson was
in
town at the time of this decision being made, that he'd be out there against Essendon tomorrow night. Now, again, we'd have to wait to see if that was indeed the case, but that is my belief of Hodge's belief on this whole matter.
I find that extraordinary that you can be out of the country, but you still have a phone, so it's not as though you can't communicate that decision would be made without Alistair Clarkson having any knowledge. I find incredibly hard to believe. I just can't. I cannot see that happening, given how powerful a figure Alistair Clarkson is. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
He does strike you as someone who's really does empower his staff and his players to make some pretty big decisions, though. So I'm sure he would have been involved, but maybe not at the level he would have been if he was in the country.
Big call for Ruff, too, first up, wouldn't it have been? It would have been a hard one because they're really good mates, and obviously he didn't make the decision on his own, but always a tough one. Did you have anything tough to do when you first became captain? Any issues like that? You had the Brendan Favola one come up?
Yeah, we had a couple of players get suspended at Carlton. I think we had Eddie Betts and Ryan Houlihan and Andrew Walker get suspended for 6 weeks at one stage, and Fev had a few issues. So, it's something that's really become part of our game, hasn't it? It's if you muck up, you miss a game, and it's an interesting one because when you are playing an opposing team, the very thing you want is players like Luke Hodge to be not out there against you. So you sort of play into their hands a little bit.
I've just got a text from Brendan Favola, who was listening to your discussion, Juddy, about the fact you had to think about suspending him. He said, never got suspended for games, mate. Too much value is what the Favolenko went with. Big crowd expected tonight out and about his Narrowly Meadows. Nez, what's happening out there?
I can tell you there's a fair bit of build-up with the crowd coming through, walking through Yarra Park and making their way into the MCG. And Howie, I reckon it's fair to say there's a lot more red, white and blue than there was this time last year. a few more supporters have jumped on board and a few more are wearing the colours even more proudly than they did before. They're happy. They're the premiers, and why wouldn't they be?
Spot on, Nez. Appreciate that. Get back in the ground and find out exactly what's going on. All right.
Can I just say, this is a new look, the Friday Huddle, and one man's walked in with a fair bit of strut. His name's Mark Howard. He's come from the Grand Prix. He said, oh, I've been hanging out with Lewis Hamilton. They love me down at the Grand Prix. Yeah. I want to bring some of my black book to the table. And he said, I'm also great mates with Mark Webber. I can get him on the line. Mark is one of Australia's finest drivers in the history of the sport. Welcome to the Friday Huddle.
Great to meet. Great to catch up, guys, yeah.
I'm told Mark Webber was a fine AFL player in his day, Mark. Is that correct? You used to play full forward?
Full forward, 27 goals average per year.
who did you play for, Mark?
Queanbeyan Tigers, mate. So it was the same strip as Richmond, mate. But I've got a couple of buddies now which I've met on the dark side. So, they've well informed me that AFL's not a bad sport, mate. So we're all good.
So what was the problem with you? Why didn't you pursue your AFL career? Was it that you were not hard enough at the football, not athletically gifted enough? Where did it come unstuck for you, Mark Webber?
It wasn't global, mate. Just
the There you go.
It wasn't global. As a young man as well, you were involved in rugby league. A lot of people won't appreciate. As a very young man, you were involved with the Canberra Raiders, Mark.
Yeah, mate. Obviously, I'm only joking there with the AFL, mate. It's bloody phenomenal. We know that. There are... unbelievable athletes, and I didn't have a big enough ticker, mate. I was too slow. So, I left it to the fast boys. But rugby league, mate, yeah, that was also close to me. So I loved all sports growing up, to be honest. I mean, hit a bit of tennis, bit of golf, and like I say, most codes of football. And it was great fun. Growing up in Queanbeyan, a country town, like most rural areas are in Australia, sport is a great outlet. So had an absolute blast, mate. And then, soon got into motorsport. So that was... my real passion. I thought about it every bloody minute of the day, and that's where I ended up.
What is it like to stand on the top step of a podium being a Grand Prix winner, an experience that the majority of the planet will never feel?
Yeah, it's pretty big, mate. Look, I think it's so rare, particularly for Australians. We know that there's four of us now with Jack and AJ, myself and Daniel. So over 60 years, it's pretty slim pickings for us, unfortunately, but I just never ever took that for granted, and they were beautiful moments, and to experience that. But I had great people around me, as always. It's just never a solo run on that stuff. It's an incredible position to have so many great people working for one goal. So I was very fortunate to have that, and the Australian national anthem playing for me was something I'll never ever forget at that level, because it was down to you, effectively. You were the only person that could get that thing played. So to do that a few times was certainly very, very touching. And, it takes a while to get to that position, and certainly worth it when you taste that success.
And we're speaking to Mark Webber on the Friday Huddle. Of the current grid, Mark, if you could choose one driver to drive for your life, who would it be?
Be Daniel, mate. I mean, he's Daniel Fernando. They're both they're real good hustlers, mate. Sunday afternoon, you can always rely on them. They are they are reliable. They're predictable, and they're very consistent, and that's what that's what I demand from them. So they'll be good signings.
And just before we let you go, Mark, a brief summary of what happened today. The Mercedes very, very quick, and how did Ricciardo go?
Yeah, so first time they've been to a new track outside Europe. So Barcelona was the only track, and then here we are in Albert Park, which is a great insight to what the cars have got on a different venue. And we thought it was probably a sniff closer, to be honest. But I think Hamilton aside, it is tight, really close between Sebastian and Verstappen and Daniel and Kimi. But Hamilton was on another level today. He drove very, very well. And if he can pull that off again for the next 48 hours, he's going to be hard to beat. Daniel, mate, so I think it's going to be hard to win. Possible, but I think you need a little bit of attrition. And that's not down to him. It's down to, I think, the car just hasn't quite got the legs. But operationally, Red Bull are very, very good, so I don't count them out. So he might get on the steps, which would be still brilliant. Phenomenal achievement for him here. And record crowd coming, I think, on Sunday. So... get out here and see lap record times. Cars never been quicker, so that's good for us.
Hey, Mark, it's one of the great weekends in Melbourne. 70 to 80,000 here at the MCG tonight. The Grand Prix is going to be bigger and better than ever. Howie's been doing some name dropping. You haven't let him down and turned up. We really appreciate your time, Mark.
Oh, he's a good man. He's a good man. He's got potential, hasn't he?
Let's not go overboard.
He's certainly global.
He's global and trending. He's our own Mark Howard. That was Mark Webber joining us, and great to have him as part of the show. He's only radio interview that he's going to do while he's out here this weekend. So,
and makes a good point that it is a global sport, and therefore I am global. Yeah, I like that. Webber. I think that's a valid point.
Look at you, Howard. You're nodding when he's giving you these kudos.
No, I gave him a little bit of...
He's pretty at ease with himself at the moment, Howard. Yeah, he's been in the gym all preseason, and he's telling me any point that he's put on about 4 kilos so far to a frame that probably needed at least 8.
He's gone commercial. He's been doing some ads, I've noticed, on the Triple M network in recent times.
Let's let's get to the President's Luncheon with President's Dinner with Nerilee Meadows. Nez.
Just been listening to Eddie McGuire. I've got to tell you, Howie, it's round one. They haven't, you know, kicked a ball or handballed or anything yet, and it's all very, very pleasant. Eddie McGuire just paying tribute to Gillon McLachlan for the job that he did with the AFLW. He's acknowledging the Bulldogs fans in the President's Function for winning the Premiership last year. So he is a very happy man indeed, is Eddie McGuire. Let's see what happens when the actual footy is played. And just a bit of a social media update to bring you. I'm not sure whether this is a bit cheeky from Scott Pendlebury, the skipper of the Pies, or whether it's completely innocent. I tend to think it's the former. He's posted on Instagram a photo with him and his dog on the way to the ground. So good bit of humour, I reckon, there from the skipper.
I like it, Nez. Well done at the President's Function. She's been out and about Nerilee Meadows. Now, we're excited about our last guest on the Friday Huddle, Mark Webber. We are now introducing a man that is the best cricketer I've ever seen, to be completely honest. The fourth test begins tomorrow at Dharamshala. He's been over in India calling the socks off it. He is now back in Melbourne, ready to see the Saints in action. I, of course, speak about Shane Warne. Shane, welcome to the Friday Huddle.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Couldn't be happier to speak to you. What are three tests we've had so far? They've been talking about dodgy wickets. By gee, it's been good to watch.
Yeah, look, it has been an exciting series. I thought Australia have played exceptionally well, actually. It's pretty tough conditions. That first test in Pune, I was commentating over there, and it was made it look like the surface of what I imagined Mars would look like. So Steve Smith and the boys did an excellent job in that first test. India fought back. Good draw last one. So it's all set up for tomorrow. It should be an absolute cracker.
Hey, Warnie, it's fascinating. We love it here. There's so much talk about how nasty it is and they're going over the line a bit, but I reckon back here in Australia, Test cricket hasn't been as great as what it's been in India. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Is it as nasty over there as what we're getting back here?
Yeah, it is. I think it's. I think both sides are in each other's face. And I think because both captains have sort of led the way, both Virat Kohli and Steve Smith have been at each other and they've been going forward aggressively. So I think that's rubbed off on both teams, and both teams have, you know, they haven't taken a backward step, and the cricket's been superb, and it's been aggressive. So we like the style of cricket it's been, and I think it's all set up for a ripper tomorrow.
Warnie, I can't get enough of it. I love every ball, and it's just drama and theatre and Test cricket at its best. And as you said, the Australians playing so well. I have a violent reaction to Virat Kohli to the point where I'm swearing at the screen. Beck's going to me, "What's wrong? Have you lost your mind completely?" You can't tell. Is he a good bloke, Warnie? If you meet him off the field, what's he like?
Yeah, look, I've known Virat for a while. He's actually a really good fella. He's a nice guy, and I think he's the heartbeat, the energy. He's the barometer of the Indian side. We saw, I think, in the second test, or the third test, when he went off for a little while, it looked a completely different side. It looked a completely different match. The intensity was different. Everything was different about it. So he does drive it, and he plays on that stuff. He does that stuff on purpose to rub the opposition up the wrong way. And it's worked for him very well over his career so far. So I expect nothing more. He'll be at his absolute annoying best in this next test.
Well, I haven't heard your views on the Maxwell decision to play him for starters and why he was out of the team for so long. Was it politics at play with selection and even the captaincy around that?
Look, I think it was a little bit of everything. I think a combination of everything. I think they weren't happy with some of the stuff he was doing. He's also his performances. We've got to remember, at the end of the day, it's a performance-based game, and his performances weren't quite there. Suddenly he started to get some performances. And I've been a big supporter of Glenn Maxwell for a long time. You know, he is alternative, shall we say. He can be a bit oddball or a bit weird. But the bottom line is, he can play. And I think in certain conditions against certain teams, he has that X factor and he brings that to the table. And I was very happy that he got a game in that last test match, and he showed what he can do. He showed discipline, which is unlikely. I don't think anyone expected that type of innings, but I think this test match, I think you might see the explosive Maxwell that we're expecting.
Warnie, Maxwell and Sean Marsh seem to be picked largely because they are so talented at playing spin over there. Do you think their selection will carry over to when they're playing on wickets in Australia?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens after this series. There's a little bit of cricket to play, mainly white ball cricket. There's the ICC Champions Trophy after this. And then some other, well, I think one day is back in against South Africa and India. So the next test match, I think, is the first Ashes test in Brisbane, which hopefully they'll be allowed to use the Gabba up there for the test match. The wicket seems to be okay, leading the way up there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the test side. I can see them both playing a big role, but you know, some of the white ball form might actually carry over into the test match arena leading up to it. There's also a few Shield games later in the year leading up to that first test. So, you know, I don't think there's been any closer now for the domestic players playing Sheffield Shield. You peel off a few hundreds or take some wickets, then you're actually very close to knocking on the door for the test team.
Hey, Warnie, your Saints probably play the game of the round tomorrow against the Demons. I know you've got kids, but if you could adopt one more kid and one of the Saints players, who would it be? Who's your favourite?
Oh, mate, there's too many to choose from. I can't pick out, single out one. I think as a Saints supporter, I think we're all pretty excited. I think we love what Alan Richardson's doing and the team, the style and the brand of football they're playing. I think a big year for them. I think there's probably only one or two spots in the eight available, and Saints will be one of those teams fighting for it. But I think they'll get there. And yeah, look, I think, you know, Saints Melbourne tomorrow, I'll be there smashing my face with a pie and a beer and enjoying the game, that's for sure.
Well, it'd be fair to say the only thing that's been more entertaining than the Test Series has been your social media work. I've really been enjoying it in recent times. Some of that stuff just can't be true, but that's a discussion for another day. Up on the stage playing the harmonica with Coldplay, that's pretty high level for mine.
Well, mate, that is all true that's going on in my Instagram follow. So,
well, congratulations.
Don't be jealous, mate. Don't be jealous. But, yes, it was fun up on stage with Chris Martin and Coldplay. They're such fantastic people, and I've known Chris for nearly 20 years now. I was in LA recently at his 40th, and, look, it was an amazing time. He's been a great friend, and, yeah, look, it's pretty cool to get up with one of the best rock bands in the world and play the harmonica, huh?
Must have been some pretty big names at Chris Martin's birthday, I would have thought, Shane.
Yes, my table was insane, actually. I must admit it was pretty outrageous.
Well, just give me an idea.
There might have Jay-Z and a few of those, sort of Beyonce and a few of those people might have been there, Robert Downey, yeah, Julia Roberts, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you what, I must have been living under a rock because I've never heard of a silent disco before, and part of the things we did over there in his party was have a silent disco, where you put these headphones on and everyone, you know, dances and goes crazy with the headphones on. You can take them off and there's not one bit of noise and you can have a proper conversation. So it was pretty cool.
Beyonce, Jay-Z, this is a young man that, it must be said, the very first article that was written about you, and I don't mean to embarrass both of you in the box, but this was an article written by Damien Barrett when you first got picked to play for Victoria. And Shane, I have to say, I have a look at the article, and he called you a young burly leg spinner. Burly.
I think he was probably being cold. I think I was a fat bastard. I think Damien was being kind. Geez, that was a long time ago. I think it was like 1989 or 1990 or something. So, long time ago, mate. And
you're living at Black Rock there, and the warning just came back from the AIS.
That's it. That's it.
I think you played five games for St Kilda and straight into the Vic team.
Well, I probably should have been there a bit earlier, mate. But, you know,
it's worked out all right for you.
Hey, Warnie, when's the stand-up tour on? I know you're going around the country, which will be one of the great nights out.
Yeah, look, that could be good fun, mate. We might have a bit of an announcement with that coming pretty soon. Some exciting stuff on that. Looking forward to it, Darce. You must be pumped for tonight, the Bulldogs. I'm looking forward to that game too. Yeah, mate, look, it's always great to come back in Melbourne. This is a pretty big weekend too. Finals footy, the AFL back. We've got the Grand Prix starting. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Shane, we really appreciate your time. We're looking for guests next week on the Friday Huddle. Jay-Z, have you got his number?
Mate, I haven't got his number, no.
We really appreciate your time and thanks for your support on Triple M Football, Shane.
Yeah, thank you very much for making me sound like an absolute big head ass who was there. So I really appreciate it, boys.
Shane,
I'll be listening.
Well done, Warnie.
He's a superstar. Just hanging with Jay-Z.
Beyonce.
Robert Downey Jr.
Brings a lot to the table. Juddy, a lot happening on social media. at Triple M Footy. At about 25 past 7, the boys are going to answer your questions, so send the questions through. But what's the tone? Are we in the positive tone?
Some good and bad stuff. There's some real flog behaviour right there from Nick Sleep, and I think it's with reference to Darcy and his picture of him and Mick Malloy under the umbrella.
I'm not getting a lot of positive feedback on that front.
Philip Molly Malone, not sure that Triple M Footy is on a winner with the new Friday night lineup. Where's the Chief? Judge Juddy, just poor man, ship off.
And come on.
We can't rule out that is in fact the Chief. Their Twitter handle photo looks very similar to the Chief, so Philip Polly Malone could be his pseudonym. What else have we got? Duke should be waiting till spoken to. Jarden Howie all over this. Duke not even in leadership group. So there's just a bit of a taste of how that's rolling.
Who sent that one through?
It was from Stuart McKenzie.
Nosy stuff, Stewie. It's good work by Stewie.
He goes well, does he, Stewie? Yeah. Nice feedback there. It's generally a positive medium, I've found.
Really good.
You tend to walk away from that feeling pretty happy with yourself.
Damien, some big stories floating around this week. One that apparently deserved just about 14 pages, a wraparound in the Herald Sun.
They did. It was a Gillard report relating to the investigation into the Eagles way back in 2008 after all their issues. And look, it's all thrashed out, as we've discussed a few times on Triple M platforms throughout the course of the week. There was nothing fresh in it, but there was a level of detail which gave it a different perspective on certain issues. Obviously, Chris Judd has addressed this issue as it's unfolded. I've heard you a couple of times during the week, Juddy. I want to talk to you about that in a moment. Just before I do, just with the push from certain quarters, Barry Hall said that it was a tainted premiership, and there has been some people saying, will the AFL revisit it? Just rule out any possibility, guys, of the AFL taking that premiership away. Now, it was only a 1% chance in some people's eyes, and the Swans also are not going to be campaigning to have that happen. So just rule that out, and also Ben Cousins' 2005 Brownlow medal will stay with him. But, Juddy, Kevin Bartlett, the great Kevin Bartlett, great player, great media commentator, great football person.
Who had a statue unveiled in his honour this week at a big week.
He said that in his eyes, there is a black texter through the 2006 premiership because of the Eagles winning it in the way they won it. Now, he's not one to make such grand statements without giving a lot of thought and a lot of time and a lot of respect to a situation. Kevin Bartlett probably respects the game of football as much as any broadcaster there has been. You were captain of that premiership-winning team. You lived over there in Perth, and you lived through this particular period. When you have someone like Kevin Bartlett making such strong statements, and again, one that he made with not without a lot of thought, how do you feel as captain of that team?
Oh, look, I mean, Kevin's got a long personal history of struggling to come to terms with things and struggling to move on. I think, you know, took him two decades to work out he was going bald and finally get rid of the world's rudest comb over. He was sacked as coach. It took him 16 years before he went to another club function after he threw his toys out of the cot. And I guess by Kevin's timelines, a decade on, he's probably not ready to process it and move on.
But Judge, I think Juddy,
another 10 years, he'll be over it and he'll be ready to move on.
Juddy, only you, I reckon, of all the people in football could say that about Kevin Bartlett. Do you want to treat it seriously, though?
I think he was. I think
that's about as
succinct as it gets, I think.
Look, news is derived from the word new, and this was 10 to 15 years old, and it's been spoken about ad nauseum.
So no black line reasoning in your mind?
That'd be a no, Damien.
I've asked you about 35 times before, too.
Does it hurt, mate, when you hear that, and you've put your blood, sweat and tears, it's your greatest achievement in football, does it hurt when people question it?
Yes and no, but I mean, I think you get pretty used to that in footy, that everyone's got an opinion and they're entitled to it, but it hasn't sort of shaded my memories of how special that event was.
A special guest that's just wandered into the box. He's had a pretty big month or so, and looking very, very sharp. Uh-huh. And I speak of the man who dominated the jungle, surprise to some, he coped with it beautifully, champion that he is, Brownlow Medalist himself, Dane Swan. Hello, Swanny.
Hey, guys.
Swanee, so much to talk to you about, but just if someone didn't watch The Jungle, which I've seen the ratings and I think the whole country did, this is a little bit of what you did on Network 10.
I think I was thinking about these animals and what their families would say if they found out what they were doing.
Do you reckon the family would think highly of them, the fact they've gone on to star in a TV show?
I think they'd be pretty proud, yeah.
What are you thinking about this very minute?
How many footballs I'd need strapped in to be able to float through the ocean.
Paint your lips with Vegemite and kiss another campmate. Steve,
what about it?
What?
Menu, mate.
The Kiss Steve Price Isles. It's a dream come true, really.
It's a beautiful mind, isn't it, Dane Swan?
Well, some would argue.
Not fazed by anything in town, man, Dane Swan. I watched far more of it than I planned to, Swanee. My kids were all over it. You just took every bit of that in your stride, mate. Didn't worry at all, did it?
Yeah, listen to that, mate. I'm not well, am I? That's ordinary. Well, not much you can do about it. There's no point crying and complaining because we all put ourselves in there. It's not like we're in prison. Oh, well, even though sometimes we felt like it. But, I put myself in there. So, just get on with it and just deal with it and away we went.
I reckon you're the most unlikely person. Someone had said to me, the person who's going to retire and go on reality TV.
You're telling me.
What happened? Is there a big check that came your way, Swanee? Let's get to the bottom of it.
There was some kind of check, yeah. But, mate, I'm not sure. I honestly don't know why. I said no initially, and then...
a bit more cash came your way.
And yeah, no, I'm also unemployed. I had nothing else to do, really. And I didn't... I spoke to a couple of my trusted advisors, and they sort of said... not anyone but him, yeah. But I went along, and I was like, so I might as well give it a go. And in the end, I was thinking it would be pretty selfish of me not to go and do it, even if, to give a little bit of money, raise a little bit of money for charity as well. So I initially just thought, I'll be in there 2 weeks and I'll get voted out and then, a little holiday. But, 2 weeks turned into six. So I don't know how I did it. I still don't know why I went in. But in the end, it was pretty rewarding. And listen, it's over now. So I'm back at the footy, so...
Everybody comes out of the jungle and everybody is that good of mates. They're all arms around each other. You've met soulmates in there. Is there anyone you didn't like?
All of them, yeah. I've got no time for any of them. Anyone I didn't like? No, I get along well with most people. There's a couple of people that I don't think I'll see socially. Nathan, yes, there's a few of them, yes. But, I'm not silly enough to think I'm going to stay friends with all of them. We have different lives and we all travel in different circles. But I'll certainly... keep in touch with a few. The Melbourne people, obviously, a bit more than anyone else. But, mate, we'll see how we go.
And I think Coachella was on your list, Swanee, last year. Is that still up and coming? And what are you looking forward to there?
Yes, that's coming. That's just under 3 weeks away. So,
you're taking the missus?
Yeah, she'll be there the first week. And then a couple of mates the second week. And then a weekend in Vegas after that. So, it'll be tough. And then, so Coachella, which would be great. Really looking forward to that. Then back for 6-7 weeks. Then got a one-way ticket to Europe in July 4, I think we leave. And then got no idea when I'll be back, if I come back at all.
So, when you haven't played footy since the corresponding game of last year. And I suppose a lot of people thought, what would you do post-footy? Here you are watching the club of what you once played at. Did you feel you were going to do that once you made the decision to retire?
I very rarely knock back free drinks, mate. So Ed invited me to the president's dinner. So, I'll certainly think I'll come and watch a couple of games. I can't see myself sitting in the outer of the MCG in the middle of winter when it's pouring rain watching the boys. I'll much prefer to be in a bar or overseas watching it on a footy up somewhere, mate. Yeah. But
The love of the game itself, though, it's obviously immense, isn't it? Because you were, when you were in your late 20s, saying publicly that you were unlikely to play beyond 30, and you obviously did. You seem to have a love for it that may have even crept up on you.
Yeah, I've always loved playing the game. There's a lot of things I didn't love about the rest of it. If my foot permits, I'd love to play another game somewhere. This year's looking very unlikely, but... even in a pretty ordinary competition, just to play with a couple of mates where I've never had the ability to play with, because they've never played at AFL level, and just play in a bad league somewhere with five or six of me mates and just have a bit of fun. And, recoveries, having beers on Sunday at the club, not going to the beach doing ice baths and things like that. So, I love the game. I'm just a big Collingwood supporter now. I hope they go really well. I haven't seen a thing of them, obviously. It's nice to know some things haven't changed at the Pies, mate. I've left a lasting impression somehow. So,
and for those who didn't see your tweet during the week on that Jordan De Goey matter, you had a reference to the famous Rat Pack, and that it's good there's still one member maybe of it left.
Yeah, mate, it's nice. It warmed the cockles of the heart, that did. It was beautiful. But I would never have put my dog in it. That's the first one.
What would you have said if Jordan said to you? What should I say in this situation?
I actually spoke to him. I said, mate, what are you doing? That's a horrible excuse, but I don't know what I would have said. I told him, if that happens again, ring me, and I'll tell you what you shouldn't. I got caught on a couple of lies I told too. Also, didn't get caught on quite a lot of them too. But
what was your best one?
Well, then it wouldn't be a lie then.
Oh, I wrote one for your mum the other day.
He's employed by Sportsbet now, Swanee, so we're workmates. We sit side by side in the offices.
I heard about this story. Talk us through it, Swanee.
No, I just said that when I got caught suspended drinking in 2012, that I actually wasn't drinking. I just wanted to go skiing. So I made up a lie that the club would believe that I didn't actually drink. I was at home doing some yoga and stretching, getting ready for skiing. And as I walked in the club, I just poured a couple of UDLs on my head and a bit of ash from a couple of darts. And they believed it, which was nice.
Might be winding us up. I think Swanee, you'd be surprised if that was the case.
What are you going to miss from footy, mate?
Probably Anzac Day, obviously. That's the big one. You know, everyone wants to play that day. Friday night footy is going to be hard to miss. But I'm not sure, actually. I haven't given it a thought, even though I've been in the jungle with nothing but time to think. I haven't thought about it one bit. So we'll come out here and we'll watch and see how they go. But I don't think I'll miss it a great deal, to be honest. I've had my time, and you know, if you had asked me when I was 17 whether I would have, you know, played, you know, 14, 15 years and done what I've done, you know, no, I wouldn't have believed you, or no one would have. So, but I sit here very content with my career, and you know, comes for everyone, retirement, and just it was my time. So, I'm more than happy to let it go. I'm not going to be one of those guys that come out and say I still should be playing, or you know, how easy the game is, and if I was out there, it'd be a lot easier. I won't be. I'll sit there and I probably won't remember after the game by the time I get out.
Well, mate, we really appreciate you coming in. You're no longer a footballer. You're a reality TV star. No, so we look forward to seeing you on Love at First Sight or whatever. Hit you up next.
Yeah, no worries. Dancing with the Stars or something like that. Nah, no thanks, mate. That's not for me. I'm done with reality TV.
Good on you, Swanee. Thanks, we appreciate
Swanee.
Your time.
Well done, Swanee.
Thank you.
Dane Swan joining us on the Friday Huddle. It is now time for...
Questions ready. Ready! Rapid fire now!
A lot of production has gone into the Friday Huddle, isn't there?
It might have been overproduced on our first night.
It might have been, but we've been getting people to send in their messages at Triple M Footy to ask questions of the group to ask.
It's been an overwhelmingly positive start to social media for us.
No, it has.
From the snapshots that are coming our way.
Negative, isn't it?
No, I think overall it's been well received.
I'm never coming back. I'm going to go home and put a thumb in my mouth and put it on.
Lots of big ticks for Judge Duddy.
Nothing quietens you down more than getting the iPad in front of you and scrolling through the comments in the Triple M.
Right. When we first started Channel 7 Footy, we're going to get the new age. We're going to get the iPads in front. And everyone's going to have one next to them as they're commentating. And you scroll down and we had to take it away from Bristol the first night because he wanted to phone people. He wanted to find their address and he was going to bash them. So that didn't last too long, that idea. But we'll push on.
Send us your questions through at Triple M Footy. At Peter Vlahos asked a question. This is his question, not mine. Darce, you flog. Oh. Last time you were in that box, you cried like a baby. And when the Dogs won the premiership, Travis Cloak, good or bad pickup for the Dogs?
Yeah, thanks, Peter, for the editorial before your question. I did sook up last time I was sitting in here. Good pickup, Travis Cloak. I think a big tick. He will just need to compete. Don't have to worry about kicking 50 or 60 goals. Compete, play his role. Big tick for me, Travis Cloak.
All right, rapid fire. We'll get through them quickly. Brownie, is Dustin Martin the best midfielder in the game now? From Josh and Bendigo.
No, he's in the top three. Dangerfield is still the best midfielder in the competition.
Who's the second one?
I would put Fife in there.
Still, yep.
From at Cooper Daily, Juddy, do you think St Kilda are a serious contender to make the finals this year?
Yes, very serious chance to make the finals, and I'd go so far to say they're an outside chance to make the top four.
Ooh.
Fiona on email, like it. Darce, who'll be the biggest winner out of West Coast or Melbourne with the Mitchell-Lewis trades?
Sam Mitchell can take West Coast to a whole nother level the way he plays. I think it's extraordinary that he is there. Mitchell, Justin, I think Lewis will add a lot to Melbourne as well.
Jerry from Adelaide, Purple, can Essendon make the eight this year?
No, Jerry. I like Zach Merritt talking up the premiership credentials, but I don't see that happening at all, and I don't see them making the eight.
Nicole from Ballarat, Brownie, do you think Judge Juddy debuted well tonight?
I think I debuted really well. I think over the course of the 2 hours was probably the highlight of the 2 hours. I thought probably the pressure test was the low light.
Yeah, the pressure test. That was Darce's idea. Let's get that right on the way.
The Darce test, we're calling it.
Exactly.
When Juddy's talking about himself in the fourth person, you know something good's going to happen.
Maybe even the fifth person it was. Triple M Rocks Footy.